Okay, tonight we're off to Daf Samach Tes on an Aleph, three lines from the bottom. Before we get started, I have a sefer called Yeshurun, which is a collection that comes up periodically, comes up a couple times a year, sometimes once a year. Anyway, this was Chelek Mem Vav, Nisan Tav Shin Pei Gimel. In it, they always highlight certain gedolim, so this has Shmuel Arbach and Shlomo Fisher. In the Shlomo Fisher area, there's a chalik of Parshas Bamidbar, and I just happened to be flipping through. I don't do a mashu of it. As always, but he says a very interesting mashava here, where he's talking about the union of Trumas and Maisers, where he said where Truma, of course, Minhatara is a mashahu, and what's the pshat behind the Truma being a mashu? So he says the following. For oy yesh lafarish behekdem tam shetruma shiura b'kolshu. Just want to explain the reason why truma is a kolshu. V'hainu truma gedola ein nesin aselim ne kavod hakohanim. The whole reason you give truma is because of the kavod to give the kohanim. Why? The ikra nesina, the main gift is the maestros to the levi, and then the levi gives 10% of what he's given to the kohanim. That's elohim ikra. That's the main thing. That's where you're really getting, you know, a large amount of food. Elo dehecha sheitena Yisrael Levi. But if the Yisrael were to give the Levi first, leitein the kohen klum, and he doesn't give the kohen anything, ze pogiyam bechvado shal hakohen. That's a pogiyam in his kohen. You're supposed to go to the kohen first always, right? Kidashto. Lefichacham ra'akosav leitein kohedem truma gedoylo lekohen v'mnei kovet hakohanim. It's a din in kovet. Like cover the truma is a shear. There's no shear for this truma because it's not because of the parnasas hakohanim. Nekvaydam shalahakdem halevi l'kayin. That was an interesting mashava. That was from Shlomo Fisher. It's on page Tufresh Nun Dalad in Yeshurun Chelek Mem Vav. I hope you enjoyed that.
Sure.
As much as I did. And without further ado, let's get going here. Taman Tanina. So you have to really look and Mara Fulda over here, because the Gemara here doesn't really quote the enough of that. It just quotes like a line or two, and we have, in order to know what's going on, you have to look at the rest of it. So let's take a look over here. Taman Tanina and Mara Fulda, the Perek Pasu de Meila. This is the last Perek of Meila. And it's actually doesn't. It's let's go back to the Gemara for a second. Puta shal hektish, shenafel l'toch hakis, o shamar puta b'kis hazeh hektish. The Argamar says, if you have a puta, right, and it's hektish, I have in my hand a puta which is hektish already, and it falls into a bag of coins, or he says, one puta, one coin in this bag, in this change bag, is hektish. So let's look at the Marfold, the quote now. So it says over there, Kevin Shahitzi Harishaina, as soon as you spend the first coin out of the bag, Mwal. That's Meila. We're not going to explain it yet. The Gemara is going to explain everything. Divri Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says, that's Rabbi Kiva Shita. Chacham Maimrim, actually, Yotzi is called a kiss. You have to spend all the money in the kiss because there's only one coin in there that's actually for sure hektish. So you're only going to be Mwal once you spend all the money in the kiss. Umay Rabbi Kiva Lachacham. If you say a different language, you don't say a pruta bikis hazeh, that's the language that we have in our Gemara, but if you say pruta min kis zeh, a pruta from this kiss, in that case, you'd have to spend all the money in the bag till it would become hektish, till you'd be boil. Tesefta sham. Maybe Yashim Tali. Pesefta says as soon as you spend the first fruta, so you have to be marked with an Yashim Tali. What's an Yashim Tali?
That's
what Akiva's sheet.
What's the Svara?
Rabbi Akiva's sheet is that since you have a suffix, he holds Yashim Tali is not only by Chatas, but even by Yashim Ilis. And therefore, since you have a suffix, whether you did it or not, so you have to, because the first coin, maybe that was the coin that was hektish.
If he spends all the coins, then according to Rabbi Akiva, does he have?
Well, if he spends,
is his Asham totally now off?
Yeah, if you spend, if you spend everything, you know we have Asham Vadai, right. Then if you don't have to, totally right. Totally.
So, I guess Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold your Sbrera.
Well, let's hold off. I don't want to get into the weeds yet. We're going to explain everything. It's too early. It's too early. Hold on 1 second. If he spends the second one, in other words, if you had two coins in there, and you spent coin number one, say it would be an Ashram Tali, you don't know whether it is. You spend coin number two, there will be an Ashram Vadai. Hachacham Amrim, A may be Ashram Tali, Vasashniya Bakaris. Hacham say you never mark of an Ashram Tali, the second one is Karis. Now, the pashtus of the way that Tesefta is and the way that Ara Gemara and Bavli is, the Chachamim disagreed with Rabbi Kiva that Bechalal, they don't hold from Ashram Toli by when it comes to Safek Milas. They hold Ashram Toli is sugapas by a Safek Chatos. So if I eat a piece of chalav, but I don't know whether that was or not, it's Ashram Toli. But if it's not a Chatos, if it's Ashram Milas, they Bechalal don't hold from Ashram Toli in this case. That is not the way the Yerushalmi is going to be going. Just be aware of that, because the Tesefta seems to say Ain may be Ashram Toli, then never may be an Ashram Toli. Okay, let's see the Gemara. Now we're going to explain all this. Tana. So now we're going to explain this. Al Hishana Mal Basafik. If there are two prutas in the bag, the first pruta will be a Safik. Next page, Samach Tesam Base. Al Hashniya Mal Bavadai. The second pruta is for sure because there are only two prutas in there, right? The Rebbe Kiva. Now, the same thing would be true, it says in the English here, that even though it gave the case of two prutos, but the same thing would be true even if there were many prutos. As soon as you spend the first pruto, you're already Ashram Toli. That's what it says here. When you do the last pruto, you'll be Ashram Vadai. V'chachamim ha'imim al-kulon lo'imoa al-besafik. That it's never considered a suffix at all. It's not even a suffix. Why the Chacham hold it's not a Suffolk? Why isn't it a Suffolk? Maybe the first Pruta was Hektish. Because of why? Because of Bittel. Because of Bittel. We're going to say in a second, we're going to say that there were 10 Prutos in there. So I have one Pruta falls into 10 other Prutos. So it's Batel Barov. So that's why they hold if it's Batel Barov. So you're not Chayiv to when you pull out one. It's not Ashram Toli, it's Batel. That's what we're going to see in a second. V'ha'achreina, but the last one, mal bavadai, then for sure, you were mal because you for sure used one of the putas was for sure hektish. So for sure, you're the last one. Okay, so that's, we have a machlokes so, here.
Because it's called the paris, bavarba paris.
Oh, so that's the hacham shita.
So then you don't have a rov. When you have two left, you don't have a rov. Like bittel, 10, 9, 8, but as you reduce it,
that is correct. Bittel, that is correct. And if you look at your Mechavan Tamara Fuldo, if you look at Tamara Fuldo, and let me just read a couple more, two more lines. Amar Rabbi Yudon, Avi, Matanya, Rabbi Yudon, the father of Matanya, said, Hadot the Tamar, the Chachamim Shita is Kishahayu Esed. There were 10 prutas in the purse, or any other number greater than 2. So even after the first pruta became Kaddish, since there's a majority, so you can assume that it came from the rov. Avlam hayushtaim, if there's only 2 prutas in the purse, then alhishon mal besafik. The first one will not be a safik, because that's not a bona fide safik. Plus there's no bittel, this is only 2. Well, hashniya mal bavadai, for sure mal bavadai. And that's exactly what Mara Fulda, what you said. Take a look at the first thin line, Mara Fulda. Avol rabbana yesh chilek. Moshim looking at Shas v'Shnayim, Harishon v'Safek Hashniyah b'Vadei. Of a be'eser, kulon, ad shtei prutos, ha'achronos, 10 up until the last 2, eno nafilu b'Safek, they're not even a b'Safek, because we say, called the parash mi'ruba parash, chutz mishtei achronos, does like a rov. Now, this is very difficult. I mean, Rabbi Yisai, that's not the way rov works. If I have a pot and of kosher meat, and I throw in a piece of treif in there, and I don't want to use pot as a shishim, but let's suppose you have shtei chatichas, and one chaticha falls into the shnei chatichas, and now it's bottom barov. It's bottom. You never over any, even according to some Rishonim, one person can eat all of them. But even if you hold like the other Rishonim, three people eat it, and each one, whatever it is. It's bottom. Why would there ever be me'ilah according to Chachamim? There should never be me'ilah. It's bottom of rov, and that's it. Ge'endik, there should be no shaila of me'ilah whatsoever, even if you spend all the 10 prutas. What do you think of that question? Is that a good question? To me, is that a good question?
Is that if one person spends all the coins?
One person.
10 different people.
No. We're only talking about one person here. If it would be two people, then for sure it would be no shaila.
So can we say hektish is different?
How is it different? Yeah.
I don't know, but it's got to be.
That's what some say that answer.
It's
because it's chashuv. It's a davar chashuv, so therefore it's not bottle in that way. But I think that's really Rabbi Kiva's svara. That's why he doesn't
hold it. Not hektish. I mean, the coins are mamash a coin. Like, in bottle, isn't bittle like the tam, things are getting absorbed into the rose.
How about so shnei chatichas? How about by dry, it's shnei chatichas, you have two chatichas of basar, and one chatichah gets mixed in. They're all
it's bottle. Dry.
There's a dinner roll by dry, yeah? Okay, so let's see here. He brings this question down here. Let's take a look over here in the textual interpretive variants at the bottom. He says like this. Let's see here. According to that principle, right after the where it says bittul barov, it says according to that principle, when a forbidden item becomes mixed in a greater amount of permitted items, the prohibited item is nullified, and thereafter the mixture remains permitted even if the majority ceases to exist. It would follow, if the purse originally contained 10 coins, then even when the number is reduced to 2, spending the next puta should not be questionable me'ila, because bittul was already took place. So what's going on over here? There are several reasons why bittul might not apply in our case. One reason is that there is a view cited in Bavli Beitza 38b that money is not subject to bittul. Right? Ah, oh, gevach. That money is not subject to bittul, right? Like, you know, if let's suppose I have $100, and then you come by and you drop a dollar bill out of your pocket and it falls into my $100 bills, I say, it's bottle of my money, so you don't get it back. that's a little ridiculous, right? You don't say bittul, my mama. For while a prohibition can be nullified, monetary ownership cannot be nullified. Now, since me'ilah is essentially a sin of misappropriating property owned by hektish, right? Because you're being neder from something that doesn't belong to you. So it's excluded from the law of bittul. He quotes this from Chazon Yecheskel, from Yecheskel Avramsky's Perush on the Tosefta. Okay, Mila 3:1. Another possible reason why bittul might not apply here is that the coin is considered a davar chashuv. It's not subject to nullification. I mean, but we are saying that it's bottom barov here. Okay, I don't know. Others say that it doesn't apply to hektish property, is exempting it from me'ila. In other words, they argue the exclusion of a davar chashuv from bittul is that's only the d'rabbanan. Has no bearing on a deraisa law, since under the biblical law, the item's nullified. Its use does not constitute mila. You can't bring an ashram toli on account of this fact. He seems to be focusing on the second to last one, more so than on the whole thing. He's not really asking the question as strongly as I did. I'm not sure if he's asking it quite strongly. Anyway, that's something to think about. Anyway, so that's what we're saying. We're saying, according to the Chacham, we're talking about that there are 10 coins. One coin fell into the 10 coins. And in that case, that's where they hold that when you spend your first coin, you're not chayv an ashram toli. Whereas the coin Kriba Kiva, you are chayv an ashram toli. But if it gets down to 2, then of course the first one will be a suffix and the second one will be a vadai. That's what we're saying so far. We're now on 69b2. Okay. Now, we said a chiluk that if he says pruta bekizzeh, that he says a pruta in this purse will be hektish. doesn't say which pruta, then as soon as he spends the first pruta, he's got it's shayach meila. Now the Chacham argues, saying no, so he's got to spend the entire purse. The next clause says pruta min kiseh, that a pruta from this purse will be hekdesh. Then even Rabbi Akiva agrees with Chachamim that you're not chayav me'ilah until you spend the whole purse. Now, why is that? Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish ba'al kumei Rabbi Yochanan. Ma bein ha'aymer bekis, ma bein ha'aymer min hakis. Why does Rabbi Akiva, when he says bekis, you're ma'il right away, or at least but ashim toli. And when you say min hakis, you have to spend the whole thing. What's the difference? Then the way we're going to learn now, this is shaila exactly how to be garis here, but we're going to learn first pasha. Like the Gemara now, before answering the question, asks another question. Rav Shimon ben Lakish Amar, he said another question. Afilo haitzi kol hakes lo yimol. Even if he spends the whole purse, he should not be moil. Why? Kamar tamer. Now, before I go on and explain the Gemara's next question, you just have to think about this. Let's speak it out outside first. What he's assuming is that when you say one of the coins of this kiss is going to be hektish, that the pshat is, what I mean to say is that either I'm going to pick out one during the course of my spending the coins, or at the very least, when I get to the last coin, that one is for sure going to have to be, because that's the last one. So what he's going to ask is the following. But if the pshat is that I'm saying I'm going to designate a coin, but I never end up designating a coin, if that's what I really meant, that coin that I'm going to designate from this kiss is going to be hektish, but I never end up doing so, I end up spending all the money. So then it should come out that I was not moil at all, because my original condition, I never was mekayim. Just like, and we're going to compare this to the case where you were mimafrish your maestress on the wine, and you were eating it on Shabbos, and you were saying, what's going to happen after Shabbos? I'll be mafrish it. What will happen if you'll buck a hanoid, if the noid ends up breaking open and it spills all over the ground? It ends up, what happened? It ended up that you didn't have any, and it ended up you ate tevo lemafreya, right? So the same way over there, if you don't end up doing your hafrasha, the whole thing is batal. So the same thing is true here. If you don't end up doing the hafrasha of the coin for the hektesh, should also be batal, and everything should be chul, and should be no problem. That's the kashi he's asking.
Are we talking in a case where he took a kadosh coin and tossed it in the kiss?
No, that was case number one. There's another. This case is where he says, what's the case? Pruta min kiszeh. He says that a pruta from this kiss should be hektish. That's the case we're talking about.
So it only means when he pulls it out and identifies which coin?
That's what it seems to indicate. The pruta from this bag of coins, which I will designate, there's 100 coins in here. The pruta which I will designate at a later point will be the one that will be hektish. So Rish Lakish is asking, Rabbi Yochanan, why should, if he ends up never spending, never designating anything, so if he spends all the coins, he should not be, why is Rabbi Kiva saying that he's for sure Mel Behekdash when he spends the last coin? That's his second question. So just read the inside. Even if he spends the whole kiss, it shouldn't be Mel. Chamar Tamar, just like we said, the Mafrei Shot Tamal Shasa, that if the wineskin breaks, that we said Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon say that Lamafrey will come out that he drank tevel. So Amari Falcha, so here too, say a similar thing. Lamafrey or Chulin Haitzi, it'll come out. Lamafrey, it was all Chulin, so there should be no problem. Elo, so the Gemara answers the question. Or Amalei, some people are Gairus. He said to him, Kan Toli Behafrasha. Here, in the case of the wine, we're comparing wine to the case of the coins. So in the case of the wine, So now everything is totally upon a future separation of the Trumas and the Maisers later on. Because you said that I will eventually separate. So if that separation occurs, good. And if not, then it's the whole thing is off, right? But in the case of Aquinas, he said, a pruta should be hekesh. He did not make it the contingent on a future separation of a specific coin. The language makes it sound that it will automatic. Basically, what he's saying is automatic by the coin. It automatically takes effect on one of the pruta coins. So if you spent all the coins, and even though you never identified it as hekesh, it's for sure at ni'ilah. That's what he wants to tell you the difference is. That's correct. That's called Einon Amoitzi Dvar Levatola. That's correct. You don't speak nonsense for nothing, right? You seriously wanted there to be a coin that should be hektish, right? Meaning, he says over here in 12, even if we assume that in the case of the coins, the person can later choose a specific coin, Hitaka had the ability, if he wanted to, in the middle of the day, before he spent all the coins, he could have reached in, pulled out a coin, and said, this is the one I want to be hektish, and it would have worked. But it's not contingent on that. If he becomes unable to choose a specific coin, for example, he spent all the coins, and he's only left with one coin, so then it automatically, that coin will become the hektish coin. That's what he says. Now we're going to explain in a second why a pruta in the purse, you're liable for Asham Tola as soon as you spend the first pruta. In the case of a pruta from this purse, he's only liable when he spends all of it. Okay. Omer Rabbi Yoina. So we had, again, Rabbi Shlakish asked two questions, right? We asked two questions. The first question was, Ma Ben Zel Azeh? In explaining Rabbi Kiva. And then we had a question of what about the Lamafreya issue in comparison to the Neutral Yayin. So we answered the Neutral Yayin issue. We said this one's automatic. That one requires a specific Hafrasha. What about the Chilk between the Kizdeh, Min Kizdeh? What about that? Rabbi Yoina, Kan Makan, Ein Toli Bahafrasha. That is to say, whether he says in this purse or whether he says from this purse, it does not depend upon separation. In either case, the person did not say that I will eventually separate. He never said that. But if he says, from this purse will be hektish, then there's a specific coin that is hektish. Nasa ko'imer al yetze hakis hazeh yidei pruta hektish. That this purse will not be spent in its entirety without a pruta of hektish. So that means the last pruta to be spent will be hektish. A pruta from this purse shall be hektish. It means the last pruta shall be taken from the purse that's designated as hektish. One second. Right. Same. They're compared. Right. But what about the other one? But when he says, that's what I wanted to get to. But a pruta in this purse shall be hektish. That's he's understood to mean an unspecified pruta shall be hektish. So therefore, you have an Asham Tali as soon as you even spend one pruta. That's basically so Rabbi Yonah is explaining the difference between Min Kisdeh and Bikisdeh. Okay? Now, let's see the next thing. Next thing is, I'll just mention, we won't go into it, but I'll mention, there's a big footnote over here from the Goyin, how to learn the Gemara. Because the way we're learning the Gemara, we had two questions, and then we interrupted the two questions without, in other words, what we did was we answered the second question first, and then we came to Rabbi Yonah, who answered the first question. So that's a little unusual. It's an unusual structure for the Gemara, right? We had Rish Lakish asking question number one, what's the difference? Question number two, what about the Mafreya? Answer the question of Lamafreya, and then we have Rabbi Yonah coming and answering the first question. So the Gemara doesn't like that. So he learns the whole Gemara a little differently. Ayin Sham to see his Mahalach. Rish Lakish argued above that when you make a pruta within a purse and never identify the specific pruta as the one that's just hektish, then even if you spend all the prutas in the purse, you're not mayel. So the Gemara says that l'chayr we have an inconsistency in Rish Lakish's shita. 78:2. Miklafashi tase derb shim min Lakish. Taman hu aimer. Over there in Mi'ila, he says the following. Okay, now we're talking about the, what are they called again? The Nisach HaMayim. Right. So there's an assumption here that Nisach HaMayim was three lugin. So that means, so every morning, or whatever it is, with the Kavan Tamid, I think, right?
Sukkot.
I'm saying it, during Sukkot, every morning with the Tamid?
Yes.
I think it's during Tamid Shoshana. They used to pour the water on the Mizbeach. So what happens, so when you put the water in the Klisharis, the water becomes Kaddish. Now what happens if, for example, let's say another three Lugan of regular Chulin Mayim get mixed in there as well. They had the Kalim they used, which held exactly three Lugan, so that this shouldn't happen. But let's suppose they, by mistake, used a six Lug container. Now all you want to be Makdish is three Lugans. Now I have in the one container, I have three Lugan of Kaddish water, and I have three Lugan of Chulin water. So now, let's suppose I'm then from one of the Lugan. So what's the rule for Me'ila purposes? So it says over here like this. Let's see what it says over here. He says in footnote 9, Rish Lakish holds when you put more than the necessary amount of water in the Klisharis, only the necessary amount becomes Kaddish. So, he goes through an example. If the keli contains six lugan, half of it is kaddish, and you get meila if you drink two prutas worth of water from the vessel. Because you assume, right, in other words, like this, you assume that the whole thing is equally mixed up, right? So if it's all equally mixed up, so fine. In order to be meila, I have to have a prutas worth of hanah. If I'm only going to have one pruta, then half that pruta was from the chulin, half the pruta was from the hekdesh. So I need to have two prutas to add up to the full pruta. That's basically the first thing. Okay, now, let's see what it says over here. So we're trying to come up with how there's Rish Lakish seems to be inconsistent. Why? Taman huay marin mi'ila, it says, malam b'pruta l'fi cheshvan shlashas lugin. That you're mile in the pruta, according to the cheshvan, meaning, like I just said, according to the cheshvan of how much you have in the mixture of the three lugan of water. Yet over here he says like this, means he argues what? That if you make a pruta kaddish within a purse, and you never identify the specific pruta as the one that's kaddish, even after spending the entire contents of the purse, you don't have me'ila. So if that's the case, then since you didn't have a specific identity of which three lugan of the water are kaddish, so even if you're nana from the whole six lugan, it should not be kaddish. That's the question, okay? Why, when it came to the pruta, we said that what? That if it was, that if you didn't, since you never specified, and it wasn't clear which was the pruta, that we say that even if you spent out the whole bag, you're not mayel. Yet when it comes to this water, we say you are mayel according to the cheshbon. Why according to the cheshbon are you mayel? That's the question. So the Gemara says, "Mindi itstrachas lei chazar pashne." After he asked the question above, and he heard the answer, meaning he heard that when you say I will eventually separate, it's contingent upon you actually separating the item, but we didn't make the stipulation. Then it's effective even if the item is not identified. We said it's automatic. So after he heard that, so then he retracted his shita. Basically, he held that even by the even someone who gets a pruta's worth of benefit from that water will be have committed me'ila. That's what it says over here. I mean, I don't think he means a puta. I think he means two putas. Yeah. Okay. Now, now we're going to talk about another topic. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Blaza. A person can stay Erev Shabbos. This produce will be truma tomorrow. Although the truma becomes kaddish on Shabbos, your designation, the dibor, is taking place on Erev Shabbos. So the main thing, so he's not worried about the chal, like we say in Lomdus, the chalais. There's the dibor and there's the chalais. So when is the chalais truma? He's saying the chalais truma should be tomorrow on Shabbos. That's okay. But ain on a moment b'shamas v'imaharezu truma l'machar. But you can't stay on Shabbos and say, oh, this is going to be truma tomorrow, and I'll be yisaymach on breyer l'mafreya, that it should make it so that today's truma, today's akilo will be okay. You can't do that because. In other words, he's going bust of the designation, the dibor. Dikur is a dibor. This by the way brings to this is a question that I don't know if you're familiar with this question. We talked about this in the a while ago. What's the din if I make a kinyan on Erev Shabbos that it should be chal on Shabbos? This comes up. You know where it comes up? It comes up on Pinyan Aben. No, Pinyan. I'm talking about real Shilas, a mitzvah.
That's a grindish stuff.
I'm talking about a real bona fide mitzvah deraisa.
Oh, okay.
A mitzvah deraisa. Okay. There, the Rav goes and he's makna it to him. He's actually kind of Erev Shabbos. I'm not talking about that case. We get around that. I'm talking about a case where you have Pinyan Aben. The child is born, so then 30 days later it comes out on Shabbos. So we push the Pinyan Aben down out to Sunday. So Rav Kivegar asks a simple question: why do you have to do that? Why don't you make the kinyan with the Kohen, Erev Shabbos, and you say, I'll make the kinyan now, and the chalais pinyan will be chal on Shabbos. So I didn't make the kinyan on Shabbos. It's just like he does over here. Erev Shabbos, he made a declaration it should be truma. When's the chalais truma? It's chal on Shabbos. But you know, let me mafresh truma on Shabbos. The Teretz says that. But the Maisa kinyan, the Maisa Dibur, I should say, that he said that was Erev Shabbos, why isn't it just like that? You know, the Shaila comes up a lot in Halakha. That Rav Kivegar is brought into the discussion by internet kinyon, right?
Oh, if you buy something
on... Because it's two things. First of all,
if I buy something
on Friday, the transaction doesn't go through until the next day. I mean, I just had this. I just did a deposit, so my son gave me a $20 check. I did a deposit. It says, you want this right away, you pay a 30-cent fee, whatever it was. And if you want it tomorrow, it's no fee. I said, I want it tomorrow. That's Shabbos. So, you know, like, what am I doing? You're making a chalais deposit in your bank account on Shabbos? Yeah, I am, yeah. Not that I wanted it. I wanted it now, but they want to charge me 30 cents. It's an assignment, you know. Shabbos, 30 cents, you know. I mean, what the pshat is that I'm not doing anything. It's happening me'elav. It's not. There's no. I don't think it's a problem. Anyway, that's brought down over here. Anyway, and now there's a machlok. So this was the sheet of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Elazar. So Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Elazar.
What's the answer about the pinyon?
I don't think he allows it. I think you see that you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to.
Because the mice probably. The
fact that there's a kinyan going on Shabbos means you're being Isaac in business on Shabbos.
Right.
Even if it's an animal.
Because it looks
you know,
like.
Yeah, you're doing business. You're doing business. Yeah. You're supposed to cancel. I mentioned this already. You're supposed to cancel all your open orders, GTC orders, you know, good to cancel. What I'm talking about, right? Those of you who are Isaac in stocks, I thought we're all day traders over here. You put in an order for a buy or a sell, and you say you want it. You put in it's a limit sell or buy. You put in a price, and you say
market's closed on Shabbos.
Okay, and I'm talking about if it's Yom Tov. Yom Kippur comes out on Thursday this year. What day does it come out? Wednesday, Tuesday. I don't know when it comes out.
Thursday.
Sunday, Monday.
Maybe it's Monday. Whatever it is, you go ahead and you put in your order, and then it's going to hit that price on Yom Kippur, so you're going to sell your stock or buy that stock on Yom Kippur. So there are a lot of poskim that say you have to cancel all your good GTC orders from your portfolio, from your electronic stocks. Anyway, let's go on.
It's good to know if I need help.
Please, by all means, just don't. If I decide to buy something, short it. If I short something, buy it. I can guarantee you'll make a lot of money based on previous performance. I'm Rabbi Yossi Rabbon. He disagrees with him. He holds, no, you can't make the halais happen tomorrow. So he doesn't agree. Okay? I guess he would disagree with the other part too, right? This is where he brings this truce from Kivager on the bottom over here. In 70A3 at the bottom, in the brackets, you'll see where he talks about Kenyan on the eve, where it takes a place. Yeah. And he says, surprisingly, he does not cite our Yerushalmi in the course of the discussion. Okay, very nice. We're now on Ayin Omid Beis. Masnisa Pligar Rabbi Yossi Bar Boin. So, the following Mishnah contradicts Rabbi Yossi. Logan Shehu Tfol Yoyim. Let's suppose you have a pitcher. Remember, the rule is, if something is brought into a mikvah and it becomes tahar, the remainder of the day until sunset, it is halacha of tefillah, whether it's a person, whether it's a keli. And to the point that if it touches truma, it will pass the truma. Okay? He brings the whole list, I think. It contaminates truma and truma's meiser. It does not contaminate meiser, tevel, or chulin. Okay? So that's the way to remember it. So it's Tful Yom is a din in Kodesh. Let's make it simple, okay? So if you have a lagin, you have a wooden pitcher that has a status of a Tful Yom, you put it in the mikvah. Umil ohu min hachavis meiser tevel. And then you have meiser, which still had not taken the trumas meiser off of it, right? And you fill up the barrel with that. So it's not matami the meiser, right? That's what we just said, right? Because his meiser is not kodesh. So what does he want to do? He wants to be mafresh or trumas meiser. Let's say this is Erev Shabbos. So I want to eat this meiser for my Shabbos meal. But I can't be mafresh my trumas meiser now, because if I'm mafresh trumas meiser, the tful yom keli will be matami the trumas meiser. So what do I do? I'm a chacha. I say, I know what I'll do. I'll be mafresh trumas meiser shvichal tonight. I won't be chal today on Friday on Erev Shabbos, right? So that's what it says to do. Imamah harezu trumas meiser l'kishetekshach harezu trumas meiser. Then it remains tahar, because at night after sunset it's no longer a tful yom, and it's tahar the keli, and it won't be matam with the trumas meiser. Imamah harezu erev. But if he said I'm designating this as my erev for my erev tumin. So the rule is then ben hashmashas, it has to be roi lachilo. So then loy markom, that's no good, because it's still tevel. And during ben hashmashas, it's still tevel. It wasn't roi lachilo, and therefore that's not going to work. Okay, but let's go focus on the main kasha. The main kasha is on Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said what? I'm Rabbi Yossi Rebong. What we just said.
Or is it tumah lemach?
He says, "Ain't on the mind with Me'er Shabbos or Me'er Yisrael Truma L'Machar." He says, "You're not allowed to make a Truma for the next day." And over here it works. Oh, yeah. Pasalah l'sha'avar. So the Gemara says he translates it after the fact, meaning b'di'evet. So that means. Meaning, the Mishnah, when it says that if you pronounce the Trumas Meiser after dark, that it's going to become Trumas Meiser after dark, yeah. Then it's good Trumas Meiser. It's saying if you did it, but you weren't supposed to do that, because it's usher, in his opinion, to make such a Chalais on Shabbos. Okay? V'atani Rapiya Oimer, Islach Meimar L'Shavar. But Rav Chiya said the words Oimer, that you should say. That doesn't mean b'di'evet, it means lechachila. B'chazar bei. So Rabbi Yosi Taka changed his mind. Based on these questions, he was chazer, and he ended up being maskim with the first shita that we had said, whose name was what again? Rabbi Yitzchak, right? What's his name? Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Elazar. So he agreed with him. The Taka can, Erev Shabbos, make it so that the chalais is chal on Shabbos. Very good. So we have a heter, Baruch Hashem. We're up to halacha hey. We've done this already. We'll be able to go through it fairly quickly, but there are nuances which make this Mishnah quite challenging. But we're going to go through it as simply as we can. So a person has, let's take an example that we're assuming he had 100 figs of Tevel Mamish, in his house, and he's sitting and learning the way he's supposed to be doing Erev Shabbos in Beis Medrash, and you're not going to be able to get home in time, and you're not, so you gotta figure out an Eitzah. What am I going to do so I can go ahead and eat these figs on Shabbos?
It says, Oveh Basadeh, so either he's working or he's learning.
Okay, there are Nebuch people that have to work, Nebuch. Maybe he was running in the field.
It was
Bekias outside. He says the two Ta'anim, in this case, of course, because this is Tevel Gomer, so he's taking Truma. That's the typical thing. Now, if it was the Mai, let's see how sharp you guys are. Look at the differences between the declaration. If it was Demai, he says, Ma'ashani osad lahafrish lomachar harehu meiser. What I'm going to take off tomorrow will be meiser. And the rest of the meiser is samachlo. V'zeh shasisi meiser osad trunas meiser lo. Meiser sheni v'tzvaynoi v'dreymoi v'muchulo ahamois. So what are the differences between the Reisha and the Seifa? In the Reisha we're talking about Tevel. The Seifa we're talking about Demai. What are the differences? What?
Truma Gedola.
That's the first obvious difference. You don't have to be mafresh Truma from Tamai. What others? What else is different?
Doesn't say anything about Truma's Meiser.
What?
In the first case, it doesn't talk about Truma's Meiser.
It doesn't talk about Truma's Meiser in the first case. Why not? Mm-hmm. Whose job is it to be mafresh Truma's Meiser? In the case of Tevel Vadai, who is the one that's Mafresh and Trumas Meiser? The Levi. Since this is Tevel Gomer, so that's not your job. You're going to give the Meiser to the Levi, and he'll take off the Trumas Meiser. Excellent. So that's going to be two major differences. There's a third difference. There's a key word missing in the Reisha. I noticed that also. You're right. That's also a difference. Let's put that on the side for now. Lamacher. Look at that word, lamacher. Now, let's ignore the Vilna Gaon for the time being, because the Vilna Gaon is takagaris, the lamacher in both cases.
But
we're assuming this is all taking place Erev Shabbos, right? That was the case.
Doesn't really say that in the ratio.
It doesn't say it explicitly, but that's assumed. This is assumed here. I'm not sure. Let's just leave that I don't have all the background on how we know it is Shabbos. It has to be Shabbos because otherwise it wouldn't be mutter for him to do this, because he's not present. He's making declarations. What's the problem? If it's a weekday, when you go home, you'll in Mafresh Meisers. What's the rush? There's an issue here. He's doing something in advance. He's not standing next to it. It must be an issue. The issue must be because he can't go home on time for Shabbos. That's an assumption that we make when we read this Mishnah. Okay. So the difference is like this, because when you say Lamachar, this is one way of learning. There's a big shaila in Rishonim exactly how this is working. Are we going to assume that we're dealing with a case of Breira? So when it comes to Breira, the din is, when can I be Semech on Breira? I can be Semech on Breira by Demai, by Din Drabbanan. But if it's a din of teva, which is teva vadai, so I don't want to be sonach on breira, and therefore I won't do the hafrasha on Shabbos. I will actually do the hafrasha, the physical hafrasha, after Shabbos. So that's why in the ratio we're talking about tevel, doesn't say machar, because I'm not going to do it on Shabbos. When in the sefer, when we're talking about Tamai, then he's actually going to do the hafrasha on Shabbos. Because that's much. Now, others say, no, that's not the chilek. The chilek is, but because you can't be somehow from, this mission is from Beira altogether. The whole difference is because the ratio is talking about te'enim, figs. So Ramam Shita is figs is a deraisa of Matruz and Maestros. But other Rishonim hold no, it's only by wheat and oil and you know and olives. Therefore, it's only a din drabanan. So since the din of the hafrasha is also drabanan, again, you can be samech on reira because it's a din drabanan. So you have a shayla Rishonim, how to learn this mishnah. Are we talking about, are we gairus machar? Are we not gairus machar? And we tolly whether you hold that the fee of hafrasha is a deraisa or not deraisa. And that's a machlokes Rambam and Tosfos. Okay. We'll stop here. This is a lot more to speak about, but that'll be it for tonight. 70b2.
Shalami, can you hear me?